It's my great pleasure to turn the meeting over to Brother David Bruce. And his subject is, there are pearls and there are perils. There are pearls and there are perils. Brother David.
Before we begin our lesson, we bring you the love and greetings of your brethren in Portland. They all voted to send their greetings to you and ask that you remember us in your prayers over there and on the West Coast. And I have to tell you that it's a real pleasure for Shirley and I to be here. I usually ask Shirley, what do you want me to get you for your birthday? Well, which is October the 12th. And she says, I just want to go and see my sister. So I said, well, that works fine for me. Then I can go and see my sister, too. And so we have a double fulfillment of a desire to see the other members of our family, and we've enjoyed that visit with them. And I always enjoy a visit here in Chicago. I kind of get energized by seeing you all so faithful in your endeavors to serve the Lord and to learn more concerning His plans for us as individuals. And I always come away with a great blessing by being here with you, and I want you to know I appreciate each and every one of you, and enjoy seeing you and your faithfulness and diligence, and being so ready to help the rest of us who aren't quite so knowledgeable, if that's the right word, knowledgeable with all the new modern methods of witnessing and preaching the gospel, because that is part of our duty, to preach the gospel. And we're told, woe is unto you if you preach not the gospel. So it's a part of our duty. But I would like to also point out that it's a part of the duty of the one who is listening or receiving the booklet. They have a duty also to respond. It's not up to us to keep after each person who got a booklet and make sure that they learn all they should learn. It's up to that individual who wants to learn more about God and His plan to respond and contact those who sent the booklet. So it's kind of a two-way street. and as I say, I get a big blessing from being here with you and seeing how faithful you are in doing that, which I'm sure is very pleasing to the Lord. There are pearls and there are pearls. Unlike diamonds, you know, or precious metals of gold or silver that have to be mined from the ground, the origin of a pearl is truly miraculous unfolding. Diamonds have to be cut and polished to bring out their beauty. However, pearls require no such treatment to reveal their elegance. They emerge from the oyster with a soft inner glow that is unlike any gem on earth. A natural pearl begins life as a foreign object, such as a parasite or a piece of sand that accidentally becomes lodged in the oyster's soft inner body. There are two ways in which pearls are created. One is by accident, as we have just said, or a cultured pearl, which is formed by oysters in almost the same manner. The only difference is that a cultured pearl is formed by a man surgically implanting the irritant, a small piece of polished shell perhaps, in the oyster. And then Mother Nature then becomes the true artist and creating this miracle of the pearl. You know, as long as that irritant remains inside the body, the oyster will continue to secrete NACAR. That's the name of this solution. And it layers it around this irritant. And after a few years, the irritant will be completely encased by these silky crystalline coatings. And the result is a lovely, lustrous gem called a pearl. Yes, it takes a few years to accomplish this little bit of creation. I always had the idea that the sand got in the oyster and the oyster just floods that irritant with this solution, and lo and behold, the pearl is developed. But that's not so. It takes 2 to 3 years for a pearl to be fully formed by the oyster trying to get rid of this irritating substance that is within it. Now, you probably knew all that, except perhaps that it took a few years to finish the job of making a pearl. And I like to think that this process that we see in the creating of a pearl can illustrate how it pictures us who have been called to be new creatures. We might be like that oyster in our former life as a member of Adam's race that got a piece of sand that irritates us, and we have to try to get away from that pain that it is causing us. But instead of getting it out, we become new creatures by surrounding that piece of sand with the nacre, or the Holy Spirit. That piece of sand might be an experience that causes us to be in pain, real pain, at the things that we see in the world. And we want to make it go away. So God reveals His plan to us, and we go to work becoming something new, just as the oyster creates a pearl. We are creating a new creature that softens the pain and the sufferings caused by the world out there. It causes us to look forward to a time when our pearl is completed and we are removed from our present home here on earth. And we join with Jesus in blessing all the families of the earth. And just as it takes an oyster a number of years to get the job done, so it takes the same with us. It takes us many years to get this pearl completed. I like to think of us as a cultured pearl. God touched our hearts to the fact that we were not happy with the evils of this old world, and we wanted something new. So here we are, waiting until we get fully formed, and then God will release us from the old nature and take us away to be a pearl in His kingdom in heaven. How long it takes is up to us, in a way, and up to God, in a way, also. Really, God is the final judge as to when He is satisfied with our growth. Maybe we never thought of ourselves as a pearl in process, and maybe you don't like the thought, but I like the thought. And I like to think of all of us as being a pearl in process of being finished. Now, how do the scriptures speak of a pearl? Well, the scriptures speak of a pearl or pearls in several ways. And we get a different lesson from each time this pearl is mentioned in the scriptures. Usually, you know, you take a word in the scriptures and it means this all the way through the scriptures. But with the pearl, it's a little different. It means one thing in one scripture, and it means something else in another scripture. For example, in Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46, Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46, we read, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it." Well, what lesson do we get from this, these two verses? Well, first of all, we have a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And it represents a person who is seeking the good things that life has to offer. It could be the qualities and rewards of even an earthly kind, which would be enduring. Maybe to be a great doctor, or a great artist, or a great musician. Maybe to be a great businessman. Many in the world have sought these and been very satisfied with the rewards of accomplishing such positions and fame and honor that went with them. Or maybe we want to be a model housekeeper, or a great teacher, or perhaps a good and popular president of the United States, perhaps like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. Or maybe we might want to be something like Walt Disney. Are you surprised that I put Walt Disney in that with that group of men? Well, I remember a brother, David Ott, who worked for Walt Disney, and he had a very high regard for him. When we think of Walt Disney, his chief aim in life was to try to make people happy. He was very careful, according to David, to make movies that were clean and fun and enjoyable, especially for children. He created Disney entertainment parks all over the world, USA, France, Japan, and other places. They were places that even adults could enjoy along with their children. But it was when Walt died that this dream of making people happy was lost, and its new corporate offices changed to being places where the company could make money. And there are many people out there in the world who have the same kind of desire to make people well who are sick, to build a happy home for people at a reasonable cost, maybe to repair a home that's been damaged by fire or a factory that was damaged, putting men out of work. I hope you'll excuse me putting in that one, this last element. That was the way I made my living, rebuilding homes that had fires and rebuilding factories that had a fire destroy them so that people could go back to work. And I really enjoyed my work because I was not only making money, but I was helping people who had suffered a loss of a home or a job. So now, getting back to the scriptures, this merchant man finally came upon this great pearl. But like most great things, it was very costly. A pearl of great price. What did he do? He sold all that he had in order to buy that pearl. That must have been a beautiful pearl. Well, what does that pearl represent, this pearl of great price? Well, it represents the kingdom offer of joint heirship with Jesus in the heavenly kingdom, and associating with him in the blessing of all the families of the earth. It's our high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Whether we are wealthy or poor, learned or ignorant, influential or otherwise, the cost of this pearl is our all. It cannot be had for any less. To buy it, we must consecrate and give time, energy, study, all these. Each day will bring opportunities for giving up something considered by the selfish carnal nature to be precious. Each day. What will we give up today? Only we will know, and God will know. God is watching, and He is hoping that we will seek opportunities to be a blessing, to do something that takes our time, even though we might prefer to be doing something else. The phrase, God is watching, reminds me of a story of these two little girls going through a cafeteria line. A sign by the apples said, "Take only one apple. God is watching." Later, at the end of the line where the chocolates were, the one girl says to the other one, "Take all you want. God is watching the apples." That little girl didn't know was that God could watch the apples and the chocolates both at the same time. God is not only watching, but He is hoping that we will do all we can to make ourselves ready for the kingdom, to bless all the families of the earth. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to succeed. He is on our side to help when we need that extra reminder to sacrifice and serve others to the best of our ability. He is that desirous. I don't know if that's a word even, but He is that desirous that we make it, even though it may hurt a little or a lot. We need to sell all that we have to buy that pearl. What a beautiful lesson that is. How are we doing is the question. Are we holding back? Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They thought, you know, no one will know if we hold back a little. Actually, they may, in a sense, have had the right to hold back a little. It was when they pretended, to give all, that they were doing wrong. Brethren, and you all know this, we can't fool God. God is not just watching the apples. He knew all about us when He called us, and He loved us just the same. It is when we try to fool God, and Peter said that Ananias had lied to God, that it became a very serious matter. What happened to Ananias? Well, he fell down and breathed his last. So, at the end of each day, we can ask ourselves a question. Did we give all to God? Not counting that which we all have to do in order to make a living or to do what is needful. And I mean really needful, to keep the family fed and clean up for the, get ready for the next day. After we did that, did we give the rest to to God. I must admit that I fall far short of what I promised God I would do. So I admit it to God at the end of every day. I don't try to fool God or lie to God. I confess and ask God to forgive what I have not done. If we confess, maybe the next day we will do better with God's help. The Apostle John, you know, in 1 John, the first chapter, verses 8 and 9, gives us a great deal of comfort. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. Say, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he goes on in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Heavenly Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thank God for our advocate. And I remember, I think the last time I was here, I gave a talk on thank God, our advocate. I have never forgotten that we have an advocate with the Father. It's a good lesson about selling all we have to buy that pearl. Well, let's try another word or a text where the word pearl is used. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 6. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. What's the lesson here? Cast not your pearls before swine. What are the swine? Well, they are any of the family of omnivorous artiodactylous mammals with a bristly coat and elongated flexible snout, better known as the domesticated pig or hog. And they love to roll around in the mud and are perfectly satisfied with eating garbage. Wow. That was the picture that came to my mind when I read this text. In Jesus' day, just as in my youth days, I have seen swine in that type of place, rolling around in the mud and eating garbage. Now, I think today they treat swine a little better. They have probably better feed, better food for them and the feed to provide for them. But in my day and in Jesus' day, that's the way pigs grew to be meat on the table. Nowadays, pigs have a much better life. Now, there would be not anyone in their right mind who would take pearls and cast them before swine. What's the lesson? What are the pearls? Well, they are the deep and precious things that belong to the new creation, which none others can understand or appreciate. We say God is love. Oh, yeah? Where was God when I needed Him when I got cancer? We say Jesus gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. They say, what does God do for me now? They don't want to wait until due time. We say God is going to raise all the dead back to life. They say, you have to be kidding. Even Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin? And we say, yes. We say God's kingdom will bring an opportunity for peace and happiness to all who have lived. And they say, how are you going to find room on the earth for all those people? We say God is selecting a church to be with Jesus and help to bring blessings to all mankind. We say, well, why is he waiting so long? It seems long to us. But you know, in God's time, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And so on and on and on, we have these pearls. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. These and many other promises of scriptures are the pearls that we have. These are the holy things that we are not supposed to give to dogs, or especially to swine. They will trample them under their feet. How often have we tried to witness to someone and they laugh at us and ignore the opportunity that we gave them to have some hope and peace? They can be dogs. Or they might even try to ridicule us before a crowd. We try to make them change their ways, and they ignore us, saying we want to enjoy life and ignore holy things. So the lesson seems to be that we're to choose to whom we even try to witness, not to dogs or pigs. We can, by example, show that we are different. Yes, we study the Bible. Have you read the Bible? We can ask, did you understand it? Can I help you understand it? If they say no, don't bother. I'm satisfied with the church I go to, so we leave them alone. They like to hear garbage, especially what their enemies are going to get when they die, hellfire, and they love it. So being selective is the message. Cast not your pearls before swine. Do not give holy things to dogs. Now, I entitled this discourse, There Are Pearls and There Are Pearls. You didn't see my notes. So you didn't know that I was holding back just a little and not explaining that the second word of there are pearls and there are pearls, that the second pearl is spelled P-E-R-I-L, as in perilous time shall come. And our text for this part of the lesson is found in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. 2 Corinthians 11, 26. And Paul mentions that word pearl several times. I think it's 8 times, if I'm not mistaken. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in pearls in the wilderness, in pearls in the sea, in pearls among false brethren, and so on and on. We sometimes think that we are having a very hard and difficult time in trying to become this great pearl of great price. But that is part of the process. To have a hard time. It is a test from God. God is testing us. Think of Abraham, who was told to offer up his son as a sacrifice. And he passed the test. God stopped him just in time. And later on we read that it was just a test. He never intended for Abraham to offer up his son as a sacrifice. In fact, it never entered his mind. In Jeremiah, the 19th chapter, verse 5, Jeremiah 19, 5, they have built also high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. So this was just a test, and Abraham passed it with flying colors. So our testing is also a necessary part of the process. I know many brethren of our fellowship are going through some severe tests. Illness, loss of jobs. Illness, loss of jobs. Old age, forgetfulness. And don't tell me about that. Oh, I'm getting into that point where I forget what I what I did yesterday, let alone what I did 2 weeks ago. And we wonder why we have such testing. Illness, loss of job, old age. Whenever I get sort of down, feeling sorry for myself, I make myself read the pearls that this friend of mine endured. He wrote a letter about his pearls that he faced and conquered. I'm going to read you part of that letter. And I know I'll only get through part of it, and you're going to say, stop reading, stop, stop. But I'm going to read it all. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? Yes. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides all things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. in Damascus under Governor Aretas, the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desiring to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. This friend of mine puts me to shame every time I read his letter. And if it sounded to you as something that's in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, you're right. I know what we most say most of the time as we read something like this. Well, we live in a different world than he did, in a different time than he did. And you're right. The tests are more of the mind, of the heart. Satan sort of sneaks up on us while we're not looking, and he sets a trap, and we get caught in it. But there is a way out. 1 John, the second chapter, we have an advocate with the Father. How wonderful to have Jesus as our advocate. Yes, there are pearls, and there are pearls. God allows them for our testing. He allows them to see whether we really meant it when we said we would give our all to purchase this great pearl of great price. Let us examine ourselves as to whether we have added some more to the goodly pearl that we are creating, or is what we are doing daily become a habit, and it will bring us this other kind of peril that may take us away from the Lord. Which way are we going? Or are we standing still? That's not as bad as going in the wrong direction, but it's still not good. We have to grow and go in the narrow way that we have chosen to walk. Let's be sure we cooperate with this process that will make us a pearl of great price. And let us avoid the other pearls as much as we can. And if we do, with God's help and Jesus' help and all the other helps that we have about us, we will come off conquerors and more than conquerors and meet up with all the other saints who have gone before us, including our beloved Jesus and our great friend, the great Apostle Paul. Thank you for your attention. Pray for me, dear brother. Amen.